destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is that, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. You're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man.
Fireball, boys.
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
Oh, all I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the money gets
it. Same side here. All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Welcome, one and all, to the last day of June, the 30th day, 2023. Is this month just gone by like so fast or what? Jiminy crickets. And so many things going on. Now, I'm going to just do a partial on this because he repeats himself over and over again. And there's just no sense in us wasting our time. So, alrighty then. Here we go. Yeah, day's not here. Nobody's coming over this weekend for movie night, so. Well, I'll see you, Dave. I got a Dave in my life. Well, actually, the landlord's life. They do movies. But he's my computer guy, so. We're here at freedomslips.org, revolution.radio. We are listener supported, so please do us a favor. Come to the homepage and do a donate click, a donate click, a donate click. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're going to get a lot of that. People are freaking. And that's all right. I mean, I can get the drift of people freaking. Because it's a thing that just literally makes you concerned about what's going on in our world. What's happening in our life that's making everything so obnoxiously dangerous. Where'd it go? That's right, it's got to be the last one. That's right.
I'll see. Alright, so please hit up on there for me, guys. Admitting in mainstream news that poisonous toxic chemicals, VOCs, volatile organic compounds, a little hard to say there, are now raining down from the sky on over 127 million people. All right, this is what is being reported out of mainstream news, and they are reporting a code red emergency situation, and they are sending out alerts all over the country for people to stay inside and to not breathe this toxic chemical air. All right, so big things are going on right now. This is covering multiple states, over 127 million people, and they're saying toxic chemicals like formaldehyde and benzene, which we know what formaldehyde does, and benzene is known to cause cancer as well. They're saying these VOCs are forming as a result of what's going on, and it's forming in the atmosphere from the sunlight hitting it. Apparently, that's what mainstream news is reporting, and they're even putting out some very strange articles like, why does the air smell like plastic? Why does it smell strange in this area? And that's the excuse they are giving. So we're going to break down all this stuff. We have multiple states under health emergencies right now, and this is why you need to have some kind of air filtration. All right, you should be looking into HEPA filters that you can put into your home's AC system that are very low micron and filter out most of these VOCs, okay? Because a lot of these are very small particles and they can just pass through your normal air filters. All right, so make sure you have a high quality air filter right now, and if you can, have some kind of carbon backing to that filter as well. They have like carbon filter layers that you can put behind your filter, or they have ones that are just all together. It's like a carbon layer, a HEPA filter layer, so, and it's very low micron, so you can filter out all the VOCs and get all these contaminants out. It gets rid of viruses, all this stuff. Look into these filters that you can put on your home's AC system. That's your best bet right now, because a lot of these air purifiers, those stick ones, they really don't capture all of these VOCs, these very small particles, these volatile organic particles. They cannot capture them. So look into this stuff. And if you are heavy into this, some areas are reporting extreme levels. They're in the purple. All right. So a lot of areas are declaring code red, and some areas are in code purple right now, which is even more extreme than that, where they have their air quality index almost up to the 300s, all right? So very hard to breathe. People are reporting that they are sick, they are lightheaded, they cannot go outside. Some people haven't been able to even breathe without their inhalers, they were saying. And they were also saying that it's been hard to get inhalers. There's been inhaler shortages in some of these areas because people are stocking up and using them so much more right now, and they're having a lot more attacks from what's going on. All right, so let's get into the details here, and then we will get into some suspicious things, what's going on. They are saying over 500 different fires are going right now, and they're saying that's what's causing this, but we're going to break down how this could be something suspicious. And even if it is fires, the largest New Mexico fire in history was started by the New Mexico state government from a, quote, controlled burn, or an accidental controlled burn, got out of control. The largest New Mexico state fire in history was started by that. All right, so we could see this stuff being started by anyone. We really don't know, and over 500 active fires are going on right now.
Intentionally.
And toxic chemicals, and people are saying they're feeling sick. They can't even go outside. And now over 127 million people are under this code red emergency. So Canadian wildfire smoke leads some multiple states to declare, quote, code red due to poor air quality. So we have Illinois getting hit the hardest right now, Michigan getting hit hard. We have Ohio getting hit extremely hard as well, too. We have West Virginia and Virginia. Washington, D.C., their air index was almost up to 200 right now. Extremely poor, extremely unhealthy to breathe this air. And they're even saying that this air smells like chemicals and it smells like plastic burning. They're coming out and saying this in mainstream news, and they're saying this could be from the VOCs releasing into the atmosphere and reacting with the UV radiation of the sun and creating these VOCs. That's the official narrative out right now. So they're saying these toxic chemicals are hitting all these states. Tennessee as well, Kentucky is getting hit, parts of Alabama, northern Alabama. I was just checking all these different states to verify that this is still going on, this is a current situation, and they're saying it's going to be bad at least for the next few days, they're projecting. All right, so we need to be getting prepared. You need to be getting out of these areas, especially the very high-level areas around Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, where it's most concentrated, Washington, D.C., West Virginia. These areas are getting hit extremely hard, and people could become extremely sick from this, all right? They're saying Chicagoans were under a second day of air quality alert due to the smoke, and it was rated as the worst major city in the world for air quality today. All right, the worst major city in the world for air quality is Chicago right now. It says air quality alerts. We're also going to Minnesota, Iowa, Tennessee, New York, Connecticut, and Washington, D.C. So this is happening all over the place. Got an ant on my leg there, wiping it off here. I'm sitting out here in the garden. All right, it's such a beautiful day here. I was like, I need to get outside, and I need to breathe in this fresh air because we take it for granted. This could happen anywhere, all right? And not to mention all the poisoning that's being sprayed in the air as well. Some of these chemicals that are showing up, sulfur dioxide, are being measured at high levels in the atmosphere, are also the exact chemicals that are sprayed for cloud blocking, okay? And there's even a mainstream CBS News article. Here's the article headline. White House is pushing ahead research to cool the earth by reflecting back sunlight. This is CNBC. This came out last October 13, 2022. Okay. And it says they're working with the Office of Science and Technology, and they're coordinating a 5-year research plan to modify the amount of sunlight that reaches the earth in order to temporarily temper the effects of global warming. And they are saying stratospheric aerosol injection involves spraying an aerosol like sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere. And because it has potential to affect the entire globe, it often gets the most attention. All right. So this is CNBC mainstream news article here. Not going to be able to see it. I'll show up. I'll throw up a little thing here for you guys. But this is happening already. And there's been high levels of sulfur dioxide being measured in the atmosphere as well, not to mention formaldehyde.
You need to leave Earth the heck alone.
They are admitting could potentially be released from these chemical reactions, they're saying. And the official narrative is that this is coming from over 500 active fires in Canada right now. So this is coming out of mainstream news. They're saying 23 new fires in Canada happened just today, and 491 active fires burned overall across the huge country. So now it's almost 500. Sorry about that. So it's 491, almost 500 fires in Canada. How is this happening simultaneously? 23 new fires just happened today. Somebody please explain this to me, how this is happening in spring when we just had one of the most brutal winters we've ever had, broke records in New York, California, out west, Colorado is breaking records. All these major states that typically have fires have been the wettest they've ever been, right? And decades breaking records in California from all the precipitation. And a lot of it was from cloud seeding. I was in Colorado this winter and they were going crazy on the cloud seeding all winter, making it snow a ton up there, all right? and even official narratives in California Donner Pass broke records. Okay, so we're having a record-breaking winter. I'm out here in the desert, and there's still snow on some of these mountains around me. That's how much snow there was when it's almost July here. And there's over 500, and that's even more north in Canada. That's way more north than I'm here, where these fires are happening. And this is not the season for wildfires. It's normally later in the year. It's normally in fall, like August, September, October, where the leaves are falling off. They're getting crunchy, drying out, rain's drying up. And that's when we normally see these wildfires, much less 500 of them. So something big is going on. And they're even saying in mainstream news articles, because people are talking about this all over social media, how the wildfire smells like plastic. It just smells very strange. And this is a mainstream news article saying, why does the wildfire smoke in northern Michigan smell like burning plastic? Okay, why does it smell like burning plastic? And a Michigan official came out from the Michigan Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy Department. They said wood fires can emit a lot of volatile organic compounds, VOCs. Most of the VOCs are noticeable to our noses as a familiar campfire smell, but they break down quickly when exposed to UV radiation from sunlight. Other VOCs like benzene, formaldehyde, and acrolein are also released, and they outlast the campfire VOCs. It's these chemical compounds that you're smelling as the smoke wafts around for days and settles to the ground and reaches your noses. All right, so that's what they're saying. That's the official narrative coming out of Michigan. A top official saying that we could have formaldehyde, benzene, and acrolein raining down from the sky right now. So this is something that we need to be prepared for. We've seen wildfires all over the country before, but this is new to this region. We've never seen this much smoke hitting this area, and a lot of people never have experienced things like this. And I've experienced wildfires before. I was in southern Colorado in a pretty small village down there last year, at the beginning of last year, when they were having these wildfires. I think it's the Angel Fire, and this was in New Mexico, all right? And it was blowing smoke into our village constantly for weeks. It was bad. There was times where I was like, is this fire like right here? Just checking the fire maps all the time. This was going on early last year for me in southern Colorado. And there was never a time where I'm thinking it smells like chemicals. So this definitely could be a thing. This definitely is a real reaction, but it's very suspicious. And people are warning and saying that they are even feeling sick from this, and they're not feeling okay. They're feeling lightheaded if they go outside. But even if you go inside, you're just still breathing in the air. It's just slightly filtered. That's why I was saying you need to have these HEPA filters. And if you can also get a carbon filter layer on your HEPA filter, then you're good to go, all right? Then you will pretty much be able to filter out almost all of these toxic chemicals. And another thing that's a little weird is people are reporting all over Ontario that the skies are blue. They have nice blue skies, no clouds or anything. But then in the US, we are getting these emergency alert warnings, these code red warnings all the way down in the south. So hit it up for me down there, guys, to get this video out to more people. People need to know you might even be in this region, right? This is almost half the country is in the path of this. They're saying over 127 million people are under threat right now. And places like Illinois, Ohio, Michigan are under the highest threat. Even Washington, D.C., for some reason, was very concentrated, almost 200 on the air quality index. So this is bare minimum not good for you, and at the maximum, this could be exposing you to cancer-causing chemicals. Benzene is a known carcinogen and causes cancer. Formaldehyde is a known carcinogen, and we know what that's also used for as well. So hit it up for me down there. People need to know about this. They are telling people what's going on, but I feel like it's not as big of a deal. This could be affecting people's health. People could have respiratory issues and potentially not survive this event because the air quality is so bad. So don't take it for granted. That's why I'm out here. I'm also out here.
Yeah, he is. He's out there. But yeah, I thought that's what we needed to hear.
There's a big old fence around the place. Big old walls. Deep in the fence.
Build bridges, not walls.
Well, they should be stable.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Things like broken glass. It's terrible this year. Really bad. I'm really shocked. I mean, considering it's banned and people shouldn't be bringing it on site at all, I don't know if it's the acts of, you know, people come in thinking, oh, let's have a bottle of champagne when we watch Elton. But there's a lot of broken glass this year, and I don't know why.
Because they're hypocrites. That's why. All right, I'm waiting to hear the... This might work.
It was incumbent upon us to be studying the bat-human interface that might lead to an outbreak. So you go to China.
Details on the origins of the coronavirus suggest that the virus escaped from a Chinese lab in Wuhan.
China's deadly never seen before coronavirus has now been found in 4 other countries, including the United States.
Today, the World Health Organization officially announced that this is a
global pandemic.
Operation Warp Speed.
The race to develop a number of vaccines is a sprint.
We're going to have a vaccine, and we're going to fast track it like you've never seen before.
This is 5 times faster than the fastest prior vaccine development in history. 5 times faster.
A multi-billion dollar research and manufacturing effort.
Say it again, 5 times faster.
We're going to be making doses even before we know it's effective.
No safety concerns.
Nobody can believe it, actually.
The White House says that we've pumped $12 billion to these drug companies.
Breaking news from Pfizer. The vaccine showed to be more than 90% effective in preventing COVID-19 cases.
Moderna. The vaccine is 94.5% effective at stopping symptomatic infection.
Johnson & Johnson.
Overall, 66% effective.
But they had to destroy ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They had to tell everybody it's not effective.
Is not effective in the treatment of coronavirus,
because if they had acknowledged that it's affected the whole...
Biggest vaccination campaign in U.S. history.
...have collapsed.
An FDA review...
Moments ago, approved...
Pfizer's candidate...
Moderna's vaccine for emergency use.
It's the beginning of the end of this pandemic.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
95%, maybe even more than that. It works incredibly well.
They're actually stopping asymptomatic transmission over 90%.
The virus stops with every vaccinated person.
These vaccines, they're really, really good against variants.
No variant that we have identified that escapes the protection of our vaccine.
Take the vaccines! I did it! It's good! Take the vaccines!
But the beat for Pfizer in the first quarter on both revenue and earnings. COVID vaccine coming in at more than $13 billion.
For Moderna, over $19 billion.
Able to confirm the purchase of an additional 100 million more doses of Pfizer and Moderna.
Investors in this company effectively hit the lottery with the COVID-19
vaccine.
Well, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory.
The president is ordering nearly all federal workers
get vaccinated.
Mandates are here.
Enforcement measures in place will make sure that everyone is vaccinated.
Is the science in on whether the vaccine is safe?
No doubt. It's safe.
The Johnson shot is no longer available, linked to a rare side effect of blood clots.
Some of the mRNA vaccines can cause an inflammatory response in the heart.
Which you have just injected in you a roadmap that says, start creating this toxic thing, and there's no off switch.
The first things Pfizer did before it sold its COVID shot was to ensure it had total immunity from lawsuits.
Two-dose vaccine, a third shot,
fourth shot.
How many boosters do you think it'll take for you to be happy enough with your earnings?
Children will have access to new boosters.
This doesn't work, and we should not be pushing on kids.
These vaccines save no one. The most highly vaccinated countries had the worst case fatality rate.
We have been deceived by corporate tyrannical forces.
Vaccines are causing excess mortality in all age groups.
We were told that everyone needed it to get the vaccine for our health and to stop the spread. The
federal government put money into Moderna. The stock boxes soared. You became a multi-billionaire overnight.
I decided to do the right thing and keep my son safe. This turned out to be the worst decision in my life. Suddenly my son was dead, and I was planning his funeral.
I truly think the best days of Pfizer are ahead of us, because COVID was, for me, like a rehearsal.
Can't fall for it again, people. If you do, then why are we here even being alive with a bunch of idiot bullshit?
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Just because I can. It's one of my favorite video peoples.
All right, today we're going to talk about the vaccines, and I'm going to drop the 12 minutes of the most lit conversation about vaccines, probably that you've ever heard. And it's right here for everyone to see, and I hope you share this video, okay?
And Mr. Kennedy, one of the biggest controversies surrounding your candidacy is your stance on childhood vaccines. Nearly every scientific and medical organization, including the CDC, the FDA, the AMA, the American Academy of Pediatrics, all say you're wrong on this issue. This leads us to our very first question from our audience. It's Dr. Tariq Butt, who specializes...
I would ask you one thing. On what issue?
On childhood vaccines.
What about them?
And whether they ever cause autism or damage kids. They all say these vaccines are have
never,
they never
damaged kids.
I don't think anybody has said they never have. There might be a child here, but overall, all those organizations say vaccines are safe and have saved millions and millions of lives. Okay. But let's get to our audience question from Dr. Butts.
Good evening. Eradication of chickenpox and polio from the U.S. and many parts of the world is a direct result of regular vaccines.
Polio was not eradicated, the direct result of vaccinations. I just wanted to drop this in here real quick. Folks, please do your homework, okay? They piggybacked the polio vaccine. Polio was already on the way out, kind of like slavery in America. We did not fight a battle in America for slavery, okay? That was not why we had our fight in America for slavery. Slavery was already on the way out, okay? That was a land fight. Okay, the North and the South had a land fight, and there's a big story behind that, and I'm imploring you to do your homework. But polio was on the way out because indoor plumbing was coming online. Polio is caused by unsanitary conditions.
Measles, mumps, rubella, and many diseases are preventable, and there's little to no evidence of these diseases in vaccinated population. Your vaccine stance is dangerous to the health and well-being of millions. Medical experts are deeply concerned about your message.
The medical experts are deeply concerned about your message. You know, the ones that took money for giving the corona jab to you and saying that you died from corona when you didn't. You know, those medical experts.
How can we help you to come to the side of science?
Science.
What was his reply, if you listen closely, is very telling. There is no science.
Well, question, how can you help me come to my senses?
No.
Science. You are a very smart person.
Okay, so, you know, I think most people don't know what my stance is on vaccines. I've never been anti-vaccine. And I've said that hundreds and hundreds of times, but it doesn't matter. Because that is a way of silencing me. Using that pejorative to describe me is a way of silencing or marginalizing me. My position on vaccines, I think, virtually every American would agree with my stance on vaccines, which is that vaccines should be tested like other medicines. They should be safety tested. And unfortunately, the vaccines are not safety tested. They're not. There's 72 vaccine doses now mandated, essentially mandated. They're recommended, but they're really mandated for American children. None of them, not one, has ever been subject to a pre-licensing placebo-controlled trial.
Yes, they have.
No.
Yes,
no.
They have.
Okay, let me just say something. Dr. Fauci and many other people for many years said this, that Bobby Kennedy, when he says that, is wrong. So I met with Dr. Fauci in 2016, and I agreed to go on Trump's Vaccine Safety Commission, and I was with Aaron Seary and Lynn Redwood and a number of other people, and we said to him, can you show us one test from any vaccine, pre-licensing safety test? And he said, I'll send it to you. I can't find one now. He never did. So we sued him. We sued Aaron Seary and I sued HHS. And after a year of litigation and stonewalling, they said that they could not provide a single safety study for any vaccine that is on the childhood schedule, pre-licensing safety study. So anybody who wants to read that can go to to the Children's Health Defense website, and you can read HHS's admission that not a single one has ever been safety tested pre-licensing. Now, what I've said is other medicines are required to do that, and we should have to do that for vaccines. If I'm wrong, show me the test, show me the study. You won't be able to, because there are none. That means that we don't know what the long-term risks are, the risk profile of those products. And I'll give you, you mentioned chickenpox. So when CDC was thinking of recommending this chickenpox vaccine as mandating for children, they did a study, and the scientist they hired to do that study was a scientist called Gary Goldman, a contract scientist. And he did the study in an isolated place in California called Antelope Valley, a long-term study. And what they find is if you give the chickenpox vaccine, mass vaccinate with chickenpox, it stops chickenpox, but it causes shingles epidemics.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
If you got the chickenpox vaccination, you are highly likely to have shingles later on in your life.
Right.
How many people do you know that have shingles? And how much pain cause?
So if you go, nevertheless, despite those studies, we mandated for American children in this country. In Europe, they don't. If you go to the British National Health Service website right now, you can read on that where they say, we do not recommend chickenpox vaccines because it causes shingles epidemics later on. And that's the problem. You can't just look at, you can say that this product is going to prevent this particular disease, but you have to look at the long-term impacts. Vaccines, like other medicines, have injuries that have long-term, long diagnostic horizons and long incubation periods that if you do not do long-term studies on them, placebo-controlled studies, comparing vaccinated populations to unvaccinated populations, you won't do it. Let me just give you one quick other example. The most popular vaccine in the world is the DTP vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. We got rid of it in this country because it was causing injuries, brain injuries, severe brain injuries or death to one in every 300 children.
Yeah.
We used them in the 80s, and that's why there was all this litigation against vaccine companies that precipitated the passage of the Vaccine Act that then gave them immunity from liability. But in Europe, they don't use it. In America, they don't use it. But we give it to 161 million African children a year. So Bill Gates asked the Danish government to support that program and said it saved 30 million lives. The Danish government said, show us the data. He wasn't able to. So they went to Africa and did their own studies. And they looked at 30 years of DTP data. And what they found shocked them all. They found that girls who got the DTP were dying at 10 times the rate of unvaccinated girls.
The girls that got the DTP were dying 10 times higher than the ones that were not vaccinated. And no one could put a link on that.
Yep. But they were dying of things that nobody had ever associated with the vaccine. They were dying of diphtheria, of anemia, malaria, bilharzia, pulmonary disease, respiratory disease, and pneumonia. And nobody noticed for 30 years that it was the vaccinated girls and not the unvaccinated girls who were dying. And what had happened is these girls were not dying of diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. The vaccine had protected them against those, but it had also ruined their immune systems, and they were unable to defend themselves against other just minor diseases that were that other kids who had hardy immune systems were able to fend off. So that's why you need these long-term studies, and that's why I'm worried that we don't do that here in the United States.
And we do have evidence of that, like there are clinical trials, randomized trials, and there's a difference between association and causation, right? Somebody can take a medication and get involved in a motor vehicle accident. It doesn't mean that, you know, that is associated, but...
Can you believe that doctor just said that? He just said somebody can take a medication and have a car accident. It doesn't mean the medication caused the car accident. This is what you guys are up against, right? Like, he wants to fight tooth and nail to make sure you get your vaccine because that's how he gets paid.
Right.
All right? That's how he gets paid. The cat's out of the bag.
It was not caused by medication unless we get to the bottom of it. So many times we should continue to figure out ways to, you know, for the safety of vaccines, of course, and medical community is always looking for that. But at the same time, you know, like we can really come to agreement that vaccines are important. They do prevent those diseases. After all, you know, smallpox was in the world, all around the world. It's not there anymore. So yeah, there is evidence of that.
But then there's diseases, you know, when we pass the Vaccine Act. When I was a kid, there was only 3 vaccines, and I was compliant. But when we passed the Vaccine Act, it made vaccines very, very valuable. And all of a sudden, there was a gold rush to add a lot of new vaccines to the schedule for diseases that aren't even casually contagious, like rotavirus, like hepatitis B. Why are we giving hepatitis B vaccine to a one-day-old child? Hepatitis B, you know, the major vectors for that are sexually transmitted or by needles. Why would you give that to a one-day-old child? It's really a profit motive. Now, you're right that correlation is not causation, but the Institute of Medicine has looked at the vaccine schedule and said in their 2011 report, there are over 150 injuries that are likely to be associated with vaccines that have never been studied. So it's the CDC's responsibility to do those studies, and they've been ordered again and again and again to do them, and they have refused. And that's wrong. We need an agency that is putting public health first and not pharmaceutical profits. You were talking about the opioid crisis. The opioid crisis, you know, started with the oxycodone. Now it's, you know, fentanyl. But the same companies that got the FDA to lie to us about the addictiveness, lie to every doctor in this country about the addictiveness of oxycodone and get a whole generation addicted, those are the same companies that make these, you know, other products. And the pharmaceutical, the 4 companies that make vaccines in this country, Merck, Sanofi, Glaxo, and Pfizer, have paid over $35 billion in criminal penalties over the past decade for lying to doctors, for falsifying science, for defrauding regulators.
Trust.
And we need, you know, we need to keep an eye on them. We can't just trust them. If they say it's a vaccine, you know, we all trust it. We need to have actual science on it. And I think that's all I say. I don't want to get rid of vaccines. If you want to take a vaccine, you should be able to do it. But we need good science, and that's all I've asked for.
But so, what do you say to people? I mean, it sounds like you're saying that every scientist, every government, our government, governments around the world, doctors like Dr. Butts, are all lying about vaccines.
I've never said anything like that.
AMA, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they all, and the FDA says, and in fact on its website you can clearly see, vaccines they go through 3 stages of FDA testing against double-blind placebos. They already do that testing for vaccines.
You can say that. I'm not saying that.
The FDA
is not saying that.
Yes, they do on their website.
They will not tell you that there's any vaccine that has ever undergone a long-term placebo-controlled trial prior to Lysosert. They will not, because it's not true. And they've, you know, you can go to my website and see where HHS says, yeah, there are none.
Well, I, we're competing websites saying different things.
Let me say this. You know, I'm not saying the AMA is lying or the doctors are lying. What I'm saying is the FDA does lie. And the FDA lied to us about Vioxx. They knew that the Vioxx was causing heart attacks, but they let doctors believe that it was a medicine that was good, beneficial for headaches and arthritis without telling them that they were going to kill them. And they ended up killing between 120,000 and 500,000.
All these doctors and scientists around the world who say vaccines are safe and have saved millions of lives.
The same people said Vioxx was safe. The same people said opioids, that oxycodone was not addictive, because FDA said it and they believe them. And that's the problem. We have a corrupt federal agency that's lying to the AMA, to all of those agencies and all of the doctors, and they believe them. But those agencies are controlled by pharma. That is the problem. And that's what I'm trying to end as president.
You know that your own family doesn't support, many members of your own family don't support your position on vaccines. Your brother, your sister, and your niece have all written an editorial saying on vaccines, Bobby is wrong. His work on vaccines is having heartbreaking consequences. What's your response? Your own family thinks you're wrong on this.
Does your family agree with everything that you said?
Definitely not. And you got me on that one.
All right. Now, did you see his face? That was a face of passion right there, because he knows what he's talking about. And that news anchor and that established doctor, they're trying to, you know, keep him into the matrix, all right? I saw his face right there. He's dead serious. Bobby Kennedy Jr., Robert, you know, he's good on the vaxes, y'all. I've been on speaking stages with him, and he is a fighter for the children. That picture, by the way, was a fully vaxxed child in America today. I mean, go back and take a look at that. It's just disgusting. All right, so you guys stay vigilant out there. Thanks for watching the video. Please share the video. We got more stuff to come, but please, let's just stop going along to get along. I got another video coming up with some stuff that he says about trusting the science or trusting, you know, the experts, and it's lit. All right, you guys, I'm just trying to help you guys out, to try to shake you up a little bit so you realize what's going on, so you could grow food, so you could prepare, you know, for the worst and hope for the best. All right, we'll see you on the next video.
Conversation with the candidate continues.
Not inviting Ellen. All right. Where'd the other one go? Might just be, let's see what time it is. All right. He's eating berries off his bushes. Homegrown berries.
Even your microbiome is under assault. I don't know if you guys can see it right now, but there is a haze everywhere around here. It's like, I guess they call it the smoke from the fires or the volcanoes, who knows what, but there's a stench in the air, and it's, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning and it looks like the sun's going down. That's not good for crops, and it's not good for anything else. And there's something happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. Oh, it's clear. This is called a global cabal, and we're all just standing around watching it happen real time. So later on in our future, we'll be looking back on this time, and our kids and grandkids and everyone will wonder why everyone just stood around and watched it happen. But today what we're going to talk about is growing food. So behind me is our garden, where we grow 90% of our own food. And a lot of you all want to leave the city, and you want to maybe find a job or a way that you can make an income. And a lot of people have wrapped their head around market gardening. It's a great way to make a living for you and your family. It's a great unit builder, so the whole family can be involved with growing the food, opening up the CSA, getting the products out the door, building the client list. It's a great family project that everyone can contribute. And then you can make money for your homestead. You can grow food. And there's a big movement right now. People want to get good food, in case you didn't know. People are waking up. Like, this is the big awakening. A lot of people are coming into the chemtrails and the chemicals in the food and the water. The vaxxers are a joke. There's no such thing as a good vaccination. I am an anti-vaxxer 100%. And all the data is out there. And if you guys just do your homework, please, please just do your homework. Stop being fed information. When you do your own homework and you read, let me show you something. Let me make my point real quick right here. I'm going to show you guys something. I want you to watch this video clip. Read the top caption, listen with your ears, and read the two words, okay? And I want to show you how your mind works. You ready?
If you can't read it, you're not going to hear
green needle. Now that was pretty interesting, right? So that's how your mind works.
Well,
so what they're doing is they're infiltrating your mind with the social media, with the television, and they're messing with the kids and they're making them unstable. And when the kids hear that the planet's going to fall apart and die and everyone on it's going to die because of farming, then they start taking matters into their own hands. So today I want to show you this video clip real quick of a fellow who has a CSA, community-sponsored agriculture. And he went to bed after tending to his garden, and when he woke up in the morning, this is what happened.
Our top story tonight, a farmer in Jones says that someone destroyed over 2 acres of his crops overnight.
Fox 25's David Chasanoff joins us live from Riziki Farms, where this happened. So, David, how did this all go down?
Wayne and Wendy, Michael Riziki says someone sprayed something on his crops, something he says he believes could cost him his entire business.
My spirits are crushed.
Riziki says most of his farm looks like it's been under a chemical attack.
Devastated right now because everything that I've worked for the last several months, you know, 16 to 20 hour days, everything, I've given up everything, all my freedoms, for this farm should be upright like this, and you're seeing the top, these leaves, but they've all just laid over.
All of his sacrifices vanished overnight after Riziki says someone sprayed something over his crops.
Messing with me is one thing. Messing with my customers who happen to be my friends, I take it very personally, and it's more than wrong. It's disgraceful.
His farm feeds more than 100 families every week. But now just about every crop on his property is curled up and dying, if not already dead.
I feel like I could have lost the trust in all my customers for the future. So, I mean, whether or not I can salvage this season or not, I'm just not certain that my position as a farmer and in my career choice is going to be in question at this point.
Riziki says what happened could cost him anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 of business.
As far as giving up, I'll never give up. We're just going to do with the farm what we can right now at this point and try to make it better from this point on.
What would you guys think about that? Could you even imagine? Could you wrap your head around growing food for the community, having a 2-acre garden, and then coming out and everything was sprayed overnight while you were sleeping, and everything is dead now. Now your customers don't have any food. Your soil is contaminated. I mean, I don't even know what to tell you. Who did you ever see that? Would you ever think that someone would sneak onto your property and spray your own garden? It's called eco-terrorism. And I talked about this earlier on, eco-terrorism. I talked about it when they were derailing the trains. That's what they're doing. It's called eco-terrorism. They used to do this stuff back in the day. I remember like in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, if anybody did anything like that too, where's all the green tree huggers? When I was a kid, like all the green tree huggers would show up and they would help clean up and they would speak out against it. And we're seeing all these train wrecks and spills. No one's talking about it. There was another big spill, by the way, before you guys get out of here. There was another big spill up by Wyoming or Montana, right at the river. And that river gets into the Missouri River. And so, you know, is it by design, but for some reason, you know, the trains are derailing by large bodies of river water that produce and provide water for a large amount of people. Like in Ohio, in Palatine, you know, that water there, it serves all the people in the Ohio Valley. It's like a big portion of people get their water right from that river. And now they've dropped this up here in the Wyoming area, and all that water is getting into the Missouri River and stuff. So all I can tell you is that it's hard to stay outside with this air. My eyes are kind of stingy, burny. There's a stench in the air. And, you know, just not very good. So this is what we're dealing with in America right now. All I can tell you guys is to stay vigilant, right? Now you're going to have to watch out for your gardens at home a little better. If you have a CSA, make sure you're putting into some precautions. That's one thing I couldn't figure out as well, right? Like, when these food processing plants are burning up, how come food processing plants aren't hiring security and have them sitting around there? Like, you don't hear any of that. So you guys are just going to have to stay vigilant now, even on your own home private garden. I thought I put this big fence up around our garden to keep out the deer, but actually I guess now it's going to keep out the crazy people from spraying our garden. That's another reason why we keep our garden pretty close to our house, right? Like, here's our outdoor kitchen where we process, and then there's our house. So we keep everything pretty close. So you're not going to be sneaking around our garden at night without us probably hearing you or without the dog going on alert. But I'm just trying to find stories that are interesting for us in the Homestead Off-Grid community. And for all you folks that watch our channel and just want to, you know, kind of know what's going on, because the mainstream media is not going to tell you the stuff that we're going to tell you. And we have some stuff on deck that you almost can't even believe it's really happening, to be honest with you. But that's what I brought for you guys today, is the garden. That fellow is pretty upset. All of his customers now are not going to have any food. And like I mentioned, it's just not the food for that one time. It's his soil now. His soil now is contaminated. Leave a comment down below if you heard about that story. That was in Oklahoma. And let me know if you guys got any of this smoke, gray, cloudy, stinky stuff around you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist. Featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me on the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Ritz, Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Ha,
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.org, revolution.radio, on the 30th day of June, 2023. We are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Go to the homepage and do a donate click. Truly appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, yes.
All right. For governments, they allow private markets to develop things to give the government and the banks and those corporations the tools that they need to control your choices. It's called perception management. And we are entering a new and even much more dangerous phase that can impact not just your life and your livelihood and your choices and your freedom, but everything that comes after that too. We need to talk about this coming up. I'm Lynette Zhang, Chief Market Analyst here at ITM Trading, a full-service physical gold and silver dealer specializing in economic and financial. Are you prepared for this? Be in cyberspace, except that we still... And he was wanting to start to regrow everything again, but the people... were so controlled by artificial intelligence, they were just these huge blobs, very much of that movie WALL-E, where this little robot found a... Except that we still live in this real world. I mean, it reminds me very much of that movie WALL-E, where this little robot found a plant and he was wanting to start to regrow everything again. But the people were so controlled by artificial intelligence. They were just these huge blobs that didn't move, didn't do anything, just sat there, just kind of living in cyberspace, drinking milkshakes. Yeah, that's not the kind of future that I see for myself or my children or anybody, to be honest with you. But Wall Street always has to have something to hype, don't they? So we saw them hype autonomous cars, and yeah, they're not ready yet. We saw them hype a whole lot of things, and now we're seeing them hype the AI boom. And there's Silicon Valley on another manic quest to change the world. In fact, AI frenzy draws hordes to private markets in industry gold rush. And you remember during the crypto craze as well, any company that put crypto in their name of any sort, boy, everybody just flocked right through it and to it. And the same thing's happening with AI. So what they're saying here is the buzz around artificial intelligence has investors snapping up shares of startups on alternative venues looking to find the next wave of technology giants before they even go public. But we're also seeing the same thing happen on the markets, pushing those markets higher. Is AI fully ready? Well, parts of it are. Other parts of it aren't. This is the one that has me very nervous. Humans are biased. Generative AI, which is not ready yet, is even worse. Stable Diffusion's text-to-image model amplifies stereotypes about race and gender. So on the one hand, we have the world moving to democratize everything, and on the other hand, we have the world moving to even greater biases based upon these AI programs. But here's the real problem with this, because this is what the government always does, is they allow this new technology, they allow those that are creating it just to do whatever they want, and then once the danger is out of the barn, so to speak, then they want to go in and close the doors. We see it happening in the cyberspace. Of course, that's a competition between central bank digital currencies and private cryptocurrencies, or even Bitcoin, because there are those that just go to Bitcoin. But when we're in an arms race to deploy AI to every human being on the planet as fast as possible and with as little testing as possible, that's not an equation that's going to end well. You think? I'd have to agree with that. But we're getting so used to it. I mean, customer service, those that are my age remember when mom and pops ruled the day, and if you as a customer were not happy with something, you could go to the decision maker and they wanted you to be happy because they want you to come back. What I've experienced, and what I know a lot of you, we've all experienced this over the years, is that separation between the corporate owner and the customer has grown wider and wider and wider. So if you're unhappy with something and you're going to call Verizon, Amazon, Best Buy, and any of these places, it doesn't matter. You get into the decision maker. Well, it's the same thing with banking. So customer service chatbots used by banks raises concerns for consumer watchdogs. Well, why? The CFPB estimates that roughly 4 out of every 10 Americans interacted with a bank chat box last year, a figure they expect will grow. Banks are getting ready to roll out even more advanced AI-like services. JP Morgan Chase is reportedly developing plans to use ChatGPT and artificial intelligence to help customers pick appropriate investments. Bank of America bankers can use Erica to build customer profiles and potentially recommend products to those customers. And you can't understand any of this. And that's the way they like it. They have said, who are they? The developers, the central bankers, their governments. They have said that when it is really complicated, nobody questions us. You know what investment, you know what money is not very complicated? Gold and silver.
Yes.
Why? Here's how simple it is. Number one, it takes energy and effort to pull it out of the ground. So you're swapping your energy, your work, your effort for someone else's. Fair. Plus, both of these are used across the entire spectrum of the globe. So there is always demand. So there is always demand for you to convert your labor into a savings-based, a labor-based money. But this other stuff, this is all not real. Okay? And when it's not real, you can create as much of it as you want. So let's have these computers even tell us what to do, even choose our investments. This is my investment, along with food, water, energy, security, barterability, wealth preservation, community, and shelter. But if firms poorly deploy these services, there's a lot of risk for widespread customer harm. But what's going to happen if there is? Well, I think Wells Fargo is a great example of that. I mean, they have gotten fines for thing after thing after thing against their customers. And what happens? They just pay fines. Nobody goes to jail. And the same thing is true with this. So, hey, if there's a lot of widespread customer harm, who's really going to be most hurt by it? The banks? You and me? Customers. But they're watching. U.S. Consumer Watchdog warns about AI's impact on the financial system, on the housing market, because it's more bigoted, actually, and they do more profiles. Well, we should all be worried about that, frankly, because it creates a situation where if we don't use the laws we have on the books today effectively, we will see a faster uptick in fraud. We will see more exclusion and discrimination and, frankly, less accuracy in the system when it comes to home appraisals and so much more. Because a lot of this bias goes by area, too. So if you're in one area versus another area, your home is not going to appraise at the same level. Do you trust all of this computer-generated information?
No.
I don't know, because they're using this to teach other AI systems. In Washington, regulators and lawmakers have yet to put out a comprehensive plan for how to deal with the disruptive capacity of AI tools also impacts labor. Backers say the technology has the power to improve efficiency and lives, while critics warn of unknown consequences. And that's the thing. And this is typical. So is our government or are governments looking to actually rein this in before it gets out of control, or just appear to be doing something while it's getting out of control? Because this is true across the pond as well. German President Steinmeier warns AI's risk to democracies. And he says societies need to urgently develop ethical frameworks. Well, then you're counting on the banks and the corporations to be ethical. Are they? Individuals might or might not be ethical, but what about corporations? I mean, I think it's really interesting. People urge to become better equipped to scrutinize AI output. How do you do that when there's a deep fake system that is being put in place? I mean, it's kind of scary, to be honest with you. But we've been warned that potentially uncontrollable risks are coming our way, and that deserves our attention, and that deserves all of us to have physical wealth, plus food, water, energy, security, barterability, wealth preservation, community, and shelter. Get it done. We don't know what the consequences are. We don't know how ready they are to pull all of this, to put it more into our normal daily lives. But what I know is it will be disruptive. And I agree. We've been warned that potentially uncontrollable risks are coming our way. Yes. And we need a great crisis to make this transition. And we also have the SEC to weigh new artificial intelligence rules for brokerages. They plan to crack down on conflicts of interest with AI. Are they planning on cracking down on conflicts of interest with anything else out there that these big corporations have done? Because there's a lot of conflict of interest. There's a lot of mental manipulation with all of these new services that have really just been out for a short period of time. I mean, I'll let you make that decision yourself. But for the moment, the EU lawmakers vote to limit the AI use, which I think is a better way to handle it. Let's slow it down so we can wrap our brains around how we have to regulate this or what we need to do to protect people. And I love this one, I do love, and I'm not being facetious. Ban public face scanning. Well, I mean, isn't that happening all over the place now? Even if you go into the airport, they'll scan your face for recognition so you can get on a plane. I don't personally use it. But you really have to ask, are they actually going to get ahead of this upcoming accident? And will this cause that black swan event? That and by nature, black swan event is something you can't see coming. This is brand new. What kind of accidents, what kind of events are we not seeing that we need to see? I love this one too. AI and media companies negotiate landmark deals over news content. The world's biggest tech companies are in talks with leading media outlets to strike landmark deals over the use of news content to train artificial intelligence technologies. But here is a challenge. The challenge is, and I know why the news media, why the media wants to get ahead of this, because they didn't get ahead of the internet, and so the internet got to take all of their work for free, and they don't want that to happen. But here's the problem. News media is owned by, I think, six companies, small group of individuals that control the narrative. So if you look at the public trust in newspapers, and news media, it's really low, as it should be, rightfully earned. But let's get AI and the news media. Are you going to know what's real and what's not? What's true and what's not? I mean, I think Intel, I've seen this commercial where Intel has something that's like a watermark for a human, which hopefully then AI cannot override. Who knows? But a deal would see the blueprint for news organizations in their dealings with generative AI companies worldwide. The problem is are they going to get accurate information? I don't know. Because then when they spit it out with authority, whether or not that is accurate. And are you going to know when you're looking at it? But ETF investors, so intangibles, snap up tech, gold, and Japan. I mean, this is really, frankly, pretty crazy. But gold, I like this. This is the cumulative net flows into gold ETFs. So this is not the spot market. This is the money coming into the ETFs, okay, the gold ETFs. And I just got a question on that last week. So you want to stay tuned and make sure that you also, for that person that asked or for anybody, I do a technical lesson. It's coming out next Tuesday. And I'll deal with the technicals on the ETFs then, okay? But this is the flow. So when you go in and you buy gold ETFs, then the ETF administrator goes out and buys physical gold, creates a basket, and that's what you just bought. So When they're selling it, they do just the reverse. They liquidate the gold holdings that they have so that they can make those redemptions. You can see where it bottomed back in, this goes to the second quarter of 2023, and you can see how it's been going up. So understand that this is just the fund flows into the gold ETFs. But here's the reality. You guys know what I'm going to say. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. You own an ETF. It is simply shares in a trust. You cannot convert those shares into gold. They're going to try and do this with money, too. You see what they're doing in Zimbabwe. They've come up with a quote-unquote gold-back digital currency, but you cannot convert it into the actual gold. If you can't, and as long as you can't, it's garbage. These ETFs are simply designed to follow the spot price. The spot price is just a contract price that can create an unlimited amount of gold or silver for that matter. It doesn't matter. I go into both next week in the technical lesson. But be very, very clear. This, I hold it. I own it outright. It runs no geopolitical risk. It runs no AI risk or any of those black swan events. And in fact, when this next black swan event makes the problems that we're having more apparent, because none of those problems have gone away. And certainly what happened in March with the regional banks, that hasn't gone away, especially if the Fed's going to keep raising rates, they're going to get worse. But none of that impacts this other than sending the prices up. But then spot gold, they can create as much gold as they want to suppress the price until it is to their benefit, theirs meaning the central banks and the governments, to push gold to somewhere near its fundamental value. So if you haven't yet, though, definitely watch yesterday's Coffee with Lynette episode with Andrew Bustamante from The Everyday Spy. He talks more about perception management. It was really such an interesting conversation. I need to have him back. There was so much more we could have talked about that I wanted to talk about. We just didn't get to it. But, by the way, we have these now on our Etsy link, which you can find below. So you too can play Central Bank. It's very fun, and it comes with our money. In gold and silver, we trust. But if you haven't done it yet, click that Calendly link below. Set up your own gold and silver strategy, your whole strategy on how you are going to survive the transition that we are definitely walking through, and get it done. It's great to have a strategy, but you got to have it executed as well. And if you haven't yet, please make sure you subscribe, leave us a comment, give us a thumbs up, and share. Because remember, financial shields are made of physical gold and silver.
Yeah, but
and in our transition into the metasphere, the ethosphere, artificial intelligence, all of this non-tangible stuff, intangibles won't help you. This is what's going to
happen. With the mama in her moo-moo, shaking all her shit around. Nah. I don't believe people get the gist of what kind of value are you going to get from a piece of silver or gold? Because whoever's putting the value on this stuff is going to tell you what it's worth. Well, wait a minute. Are you going to get cash with that? They're outlawing cash. So what the hell? You people aren't thinking past their flipping eyebrows. Ugh. Because I like silver. I'd love to have some gold. But I can't see the validity of spending good hard cash to buy stuff that I'm not going to be able to exchange for a loaf of bread. I don't get it, people. I just don't get it. And then what kind of equivalent dividends or change will you receive from those transactions if you have more than what is being requested for to pay? Is anybody thinking about that? That's why dollars and change really mean a lot. Mean a whole lot more than gold and silver. Even if it's worthless, it still has a validity of knowledge that we've been using it, so it has a better value to it. Like people playing the stock market. Oh yeah, I'll put some funds here. And then what are the people who are in control of all the numbers? Oh, we'll bankrupt it. And then we'll come back and pay cheap and nothing for it again and do it all again. It's all a game, people. Do you realize that? That all this economy is just one big effing game. And we're playing to it. And we're thinking we're the best if we got more than everybody else. Well, I'd rather have a garden and fresh air and children who don't need vaccines at a day old. There's a whole lot of stuff I'd love to have. Not just for myself. Oh, heck no. But enough for people to flip and be able to survive. Without bullshit. There's just so much bullshit. It's crazy. It's crazy. I tell you, it's all so crazy.
Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com
from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
All righty then. Let's see. Wish I didn't have that pain. But that's okay. That's the way it goes. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think and click and work out this owie. Somebody we haven't heard from in a long time.
It's the 13th of June, 2023, and this is video number 327. You will no doubt be aware that the idea of forcing people to be vaccinated is back in the news, and I think it's time to look at the background to what's happening. To start with, of course, it's important to remember that the World Health Organization, whose enthusiasm for forced vaccination and the abuse of patients all around the world is a sign of their collective wickedness and ignorance, is linked with the United Nations in the same way that Donald Trump is linked to his hair. You can't have one without the other. So we need some vitally important background. When the American President Theodore Roosevelt had the idea for the United Nations early during the Second World War and wrote the outline for Churchill to approve, there was a lot of fancy rhetoric about human rights and religious freedom. However, no one involved in the United Nations formation doubted that the clear single aim was to create an organization which would lead us directly to a world government. That was what they said. That was the plan. As written by Roosevelt and his aides, the United Nations Charter excluded de Gaulle's France so as not to upset Germany and made the United States the first among equals, or so-called equals anyway. It's worth remembering, by the way, and this is absolutely crucial that one of the men responsible for the United Nations was John J. McCloy, a former president of the World Bank, a Wall Street insider, a former partner in a law firm which represented the American portion of IG Farben. Look them up if you haven't heard of them. And McCloy was a Nazi sympathizer. While helping set up the United Nations, McCloy used his influence to stop the United States Air Force bombing Auschwitz, not because he was worried about killing the prisoners, but because he knew how crucial the concentration camps were to German industry. McCloy, who was at the time Assistant Secretary of War, claimed that bombing the gas chambers at Auschwitz might annoy the Germans and provoke them into vindictive actions. Some found it difficult to understand precisely what sort of vindictive actions he had in mind. It was, however, McCloy's actions after the war which helped create the European Union. If you want to know more about that, read The Shocking History of the European Union by Zena Cohen. After the war, McCloy became the United States High Commissioner for West Germany, where in addition to releasing many industrialists who'd been sentenced for war crimes, he also arranged for Nazi camp doctors and SS officers to be released or to have their sentences substantially reduced. As soon as McCloy had arranged for their release, the executives from IG Farben quickly rejoined German companies such as Deutsche Bank. Alan Dulles, John Foster Dulles and General Patton all wanted the Germans to control Europe as a defence against the Soviet Union. It was mainly due to McCloy that Schmitz, Krupp and other war criminals received no punishment at all, or the sort of punishment usually regarded as suitable for small-time motoring offenders. There was a reason for all this. It was war criminals released by McCloy who helped found the European Union, an early step towards the planned world government. Incredibly, McCloy even arranged for Krupp to be pardoned and his record as a war criminal expunged, even though Krupp's industrial empire had controlled slave labourers in 57 concentration camps. Astonishingly, McCloy even ordered that all of Krupp's property, which had been confiscated after the war, be restored to him so that he suffered not at all. And it was McCloy, as I said, who helped the Nazis set up the European Union. This slight detour into the world of the nauseating McCloy is important because it helps define the sort of men who set up the United Nations. And they were all men, by the way. Hillary Clinton wasn't a force at the time. The Communist Party instructed its members that great popular support and enthusiasm for the United Nations policies should be built up, well organized and fully articulate. But it must be necessary to do more than that. The opposition must be rendered so impotent that it will be unable to gather any significant support in the Senate against the United Nations Charter and the treaties which will follow, close quotes. And so the Communist Party was supporting, endorsing and promoting an organisation, the United Nations, which had been set up effectively by a bunch of American bankers. And it's crucial to remember and never forget that, as Professor Carol Quigley said, the power of financial capitalism had a far-reaching plan, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole, close quotes. Quigley, of course, was the author of one of the most important books of the 20th century, Tragedy and Hope, a 1,300-page book published in 1966. And it's vital to remember that nothing that's happened in the last 100 years has been an accident. Everything's been carefully planned. The wars, the man-made climate change hoax, the endless fake pandemics, the corruption, the appeasement, the political deceits, the subsidized rioting, the recessions and the political coups. They've all been part of a carefully designed, well-orchestrated plot to replace sovereign governments with a world government run by financiers, bankers, very rich people, and obedient, greedy hypocrites such as Obama, Clinton and Blair. The one thing they all have in common, in my view, is that they should all be awaiting trial for war crimes. The United Nations peacekeeping force, which was set up in response to Richard Nixon, was the first step towards that world government. It was back in 1950 that Congressman Richard Nixon introduced a resolution calling for the establishment of a United Nations police force. But the United Nations didn't limit itself to a police force. Psychologists, behavioral scientists, agronomists and others were employed to work out ways to control people. Right at the beginning of the United Nations life, there were plans to reduce the size of the world's population and to enforce sterilization. And it has, of course, been reported that some widely promoted vaccination programs were actually designed to reduce fertility. There were also plans to destroy local police forces, to destroy local healthcare and education programs, and to make sure that all citizens handed in their guns, to encourage citizens everywhere to accept the idea of more state control. It was decided that rioters should be allowed to disrupt towns and cities all over the world, ostensibly campaigning against racism, climate change, and other issues. The other stuff which most people associated with the United Nations and which encourages celebrities to work with their various programs is all window dressing, all done to make people think that the UN is a peace-loving, decent organization run by good, kind people with honest intentions, all of them having much in common with Miss World contestants, spiritually at least. In practice, of course, the United Nations is quite possibly the most evil organization devised by man, and the army of vastly overpaid and undertaxed renegades who work for it are traitors to mankind, and will one day pay the price for their perfidy. That's the background, which, God willing, I shall return to another day. Sadly, most people don't realize how well everything ties together. The mainstream media never mentions this stuff, and the internet is awash with CIA-sponsored controlled opposition on the internet, including self-styled preppers selling us enough freeze-dried cabbage to last us 30 years so that we can survive the inevitable nuclear blast. I think the preppers are effectively spreading the word that we've lost everything and there's nothing we can do to defend or protect ourselves. Some of them are still strutting their funky stuff on YouTube. And in my view, the quick way to see if someone's controlled opposition is to see if they're still on YouTube. If they are, then they're probably approved by the WEF
and the CIA,
among others. I fear that the underlying aim of all this garbage may be to make us believe that there's nothing we can do to stop the conspirators, and so we might just as well lie back and get ready to enjoy our stocks of freeze-dried cabbage. Well, bollocks to all that, bollocks to them, and bollocks to YouTube and Google. They're thoroughly corrupt and evil as Smersh and Spectre. What's worrying me at the moment is the resurrected, revised plan to force everyone on Earth to accept a barrage of vaccinations, and you would get there eventually, to be jabbed with a whole sequence of jabs which don't do what they're supposed to do, but which do kill people, make them infertile, and create new illnesses. And, of course, the plot to vaccinate everyone comes from the World Health Organization, and their refreshed plan for global dominance via the needle was slipped out quietly while the mainstream media remain obsessed with the trivial activities of a bunch of Z-list celebrities and minor royals, and occasionally with the latest in a series of designer wars created by American conspirators and their friends in NATO. As an aside, the latest war in Ukraine is, of course, part of the drive organized by the far left, the neoliberals, and the billionaires who finance them towards forming and controlling a tyrannical world government, which will be happily accepted by the weary masses who are exhausted by the constant storm of depressing news, all promoted by the ignorant, the unimaginative, and the newly insane, and designed to take us straight into the Great Reset, complete with wall-to-wall social credits, digital currencies, and an entirely digital world, the sort of digital world now being put into practice by Aldi, a German company which has shops, or at least one, where you can't buy food unless you've got their app on your phone. Actually, they won't even let you into their shops unless you have their app on your smartphone.
Yeah, well, bugger off, because
we don't want them or their apps. No. Anyone who has an app and shops at Aldi is a traitor.
Right.
There you go. There are people around who still don't realize this, but the World Health Organization is the terrorist wing of the United Nations, or at least it is in my view, and for the last 3 years it's spread lies and fear with relentless enthusiasm. The WHO's job is to terrify the public and adapt the truth to suit the needs of the conspirators pushing for global power and a world government.
Sure.
The World Health Organization is an essential weapon in the UN's armory. It's got nothing to do with health, but is a plain and simple terrorist group and a vital part of the global conspiracy, which is taking us remorselessly into the New World Order and dragging us down into the Great Reset. The WHO, the World Health Organization's, planning to bring a dangerous and unnecessary program of compulsory vaccinations, all untested and dangerous. Disingenuous as always, they and their jackbooted commie collaborators will say, of course, that the vaccinations aren't compulsory, and that if you don't want to buy food or electricity, have a bank account, keep a job, or leave your home, then you won't need a vaccination certificate. Of course, if you do want to buy food and electricity, have a job, leave your home and generally stay alive, then you'll need all your jabs. But as the loathsome Trudeau would probably say, they won't be compulsory. They think we're all stupid, and the tragedy is that they're nearly right. Most people are stupid, and most people will accept everything they're told by the World Health Organization, an organization now infamous for its links with the vaccine hobbyist Bill Gates, a man with close links with the cuddly trio of the BBC, The Guardian, and Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein's probably the only one of the three who's still alive. In March 2020, over 3 years ago, I warned that they would introduce compulsory vaccinations. If you listen carefully, you can still hear the sniggers and abuse I received at the time. Totalitarian regimes have always introduced compulsory vaccination programs, though they've never before been planned globally, and they've always failed. I also warned about digital money and the killing of the elderly, and the rest of the plan. Today, there's no need for any more evidence proving that vaccines don't do what they're supposed to do and aren't safe. My book, Anyone Who Tells You Vaccines Are Safe and Effective Is Lying, is packed with information proving that vaccine programs aren't either of those. And in the autumn of 2020, I recorded a series of videos detailing exactly what the problems with the COVID-19 jab would be. I warned about the heart problems, the clots, the myocarditis, months before those problems appeared and before the jab rollout began. Meanwhile, of course, mainstream media propaganda outfits such as the BBC were lying and telling everyone that the vaccine was safe and effective. The official figures prove that my warnings, the best part of 3 years ago, were absolutely accurate. The government figures also show that there was never a pandemic, and the remarketed, over-promoted flu was just a pretty standard flu. The so-called vaccine, however, is one of the most toxic pharmaceutical products in history, making thalidomide look good. The sensible folk who said no to the toxic jab are today the healthiest people left on earth. The awful, awful truth is that the conspirators, the treacherous, evil folk who will do anything to push us towards a world government, knew exactly what would happen. The fake pandemic was designed to terrify and to teach the unimaginative to obey. The COVID jab was designed to kill, to cripple, and to add to the fear, and to increase medical bills to impoverish us in countries where you have to pay. The enemy has done well so far because they've controlled the media. Our only hope, our big hope now, is to draw attention to their crookedness. We can prove that the mainstream media lied. We can prove that politicians and doctors lied. Paradoxically, our biggest strength is that they've refused to debate. For well over 3 years, I've been challenging the liars to debate with me. I've been prepared to slum it by talking to BBC staff, and I'd be delighted to put the debate on my websites, which I suspect receive more visitors than most BBC news programmes. The BBC's refusal to debate is a sign of their weakness, and so we should keep on challenging them. This is the way we'll win this war, not by stocking up on huge supplies of freeze-dried cabbage or community gas masks for the entire family. The BBC will probably refuse to debate because they know they'll lose. Indeed, the BBC, a state broadcaster, if ever I saw one, has probably been ordered by the government not to engage in any debate. I suspect the staff there all have a copy of Mao's little red book tucked into their regulation underwear. But we should push for a debate, not just to embarrass them, though that'd be fun, but because people will see that they're refusing to back up their claims and to defend their lies. I would happily meet all the experts the BBC can find in a live TV studio. There I will prove that COVID-19 was never a major threat to mankind and that the so-called pandemic was a fake. I will prove that COVID-19 did not cause an avalanche of deaths. I will prove that COVID-19 killed no more people than the ordinary flu. I will prove that the COVID-19 vaccine did not provide the protection it was said to provide and was never as safe as politicians, doctors and journalists claimed it to be, and that it is a toxic pharmaceutical product which was wrongly promoted. I will prove the lockdowns were never necessary and did far more harm than good. I will prove that masks were never necessary or safe and did more harm than good. I will prove that the PCR test was useless and used to enable the authorities to falsify their COVID figures. Why should the BBC debate with me? Well, before I became officially listed by the CIA as a discredited conspiracy theorist, banned by all mainstream media and all social media for the modern unforgivable crime of telling the truth, I was, since the 1970s, an acknowledged expert on iatrogenesis, drug side effects and vaccines. I was the BBC's first networked agony uncle back in the 1980s, and I made numerous TV and radio series for the BBC, when it was a reasonable organisation. As the author of the world's best-selling book on vaccines, I'd love to debate with the WHO's experts, but they won't debate, of course. I doubt if there's anyone working there who could hold their own in a debate. I suspect they're too drunk with arrogance and a sense of superiority ever to take a chance, so they're out. Maybe another TV network will have employees with the guts to take me on. It has to be networked and it has to be live because I don't trust any of them. It'll be a fight to the death. Whoever loses will be permanently destroyed. Their arguments will be forever discredited and they'll never get any more government advertising. I bet the viewing figures would be massive. I'm prepared to risk everything because I'm confident that I know the truth and the statistics I can produce will prove that I'm right. Send this video to all the TV stations you can think of. Let's embarrass the treacherous cretins to death. And please share this video everywhere you can. Remember, I'm banned from everything apart from the platforms where you can see this video. I'm banned from all social media. I'm banned from YouTube, of course. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair. Please remember that though it may feel like it at times, you are not alone. More and more people are waking up, and once they're awake, they don't go back to sleep. Distrust the government. Avoid mass media and fight the lies. And please share this with everyone you know. Remember, I'm banned from all social media and YouTube, and anything with my name on it on social media is fake. But you can find me on vernoncolman.com, where I've been since long before Google and YouTube were born, and more recently also on vernoncolman.org. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. Thank you again for watching An Old Man in a...
General Floyd, thank you for agreeing to meet with us today.
Ah, yes, you are most welcome. Giving you a chance to beg and plead for mercy before we destroy your planet is my favorite part of the job.
No, please, don't destroy us. We don't deserve this.
The looks on their faces. It's a hoot.
Perhaps we should start out by introducing ourselves. I'm Chief of Space Operations, General Foreman. He, him. Undersecretary of State, Angus Miller. He, him.
Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer, Amanda Williams, she, her.
And what exactly is a Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer?
It's my job to be a black woman.
Well, good job, then. And what is this he, him, she, her, of which you are all speaking?
Those are our gender pronouns, so you know which gender we identify as.
I appreciate that, but I am pretty good at telling the difference between the two genders. A man, woman. Nailed it.
That was a lucky guess, but there are way more than just two genders.
Fascinating. We've been probing humans for years, and we have only discovered the two. How many genders are there?
172.
It's hard to know, really. It's changing all the time.
So, your species is evolving that rapidly. Remarkable. Perhaps while you are sitting here, you will grow additional limbs or develop the ability to breathe underwater.
No, that's not what we meant.
It's too bad. I breathe underwater. It's a lot of fun. If you threw 20 pennies into a pool, I could dive down and pick them all up without ever once resurfacing.
Boom!
What, no applause?
So, what are these genders, and how do they function?
Function? I don't understand.
Why, yes. On my planet, the female gender is the giver of life, raising and nurturing our young, preserving our civilization for eons to come, while the males mostly just mow our space lawns and make multiple trips to Space Home Depot.
What you're talking about is sex. Gender is something different.
Exactly. People can identify with genders different than their natal sex, or with none at all.
But why?
It's just the way we feel.
No! It was the way we were born.
Well, of course, a lot of times they don't realize how they were born until someone tells them. Someone like a teacher, social media influencer.
And what exactly are these various genders? You have me very curious.
Well, there's non-binary, which is someone who identifies as both genders.
Doesn't saying identify as both genders imply that there are only two genders?
Shut up!
Actually, it's genderqueer. That is the term that refers to people who identify as both genders. You know, like my nephew.
I thought that was gender fluid, like my niece.
No, that shifts around.
No, bigender shifts around, like my stepson.
It can.
Well, unless you're Native American, in which case it's two-spirit. Like my cousin, who got into Harvard because they's 1/16th Native American.
Oh, I understand. On this planet, there are people who are men, and people who are women, and people who are mentally ill.
I can understand that it's confusing. It can be difficult to keep track of all the different genders. There's so many of them. There's gender vague, there's gray gender, demi gender, odd gender, omni gender, poly gender, and about 10 different kinds of trans. And those are just the ones that my nephew has identified as in the last month. There's also bigender, which is two genders, those genders being male and female, or a combination of all genders, including agender, which is no gender at all. So
space interjection.
Actually simultaneously be no gender at all plus a gender.
That's disgusting. Everybody have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic.